So I'm going to invite Eric to come and I'm going to pray for you again, because you can never have too much prayer. Lord, we thank you for this brother. Thank you that you've brought him here to minister through your word in your spirit to us this morning. I pray that the volume will be loud enough, from the microphone, that is. And Lord, that we would clearly hear you no matter what the volume from the kids is. But I pray that they would receive something from you as well this morning. Lord, your spirit is here and moving amongst us. It's impossible for them not to gain some of that. So Lord, I pray for a peace in Eric's heart. And most of all, that we would worship you together in your spirit this morning. Amen.
Skateboarding. I actually don't skateboard that much anymore, but I used to love skateboarding. When I was a teenager, 13 years old, I got into skateboarding, and it's all that I did. I would watch skate videos, and then I'd go try all the tricks in the town, on the streets, in the parking lots, and it's just something that I love to do. I actually brought a skateboard, because this will probably keep some of you, your attention. But yeah, here's a skateboard. Okay? So, yeah. I want to share a story about how God came to me and sort of said, Eric, if you're going to follow me, are you willing to give up something that you love? And I really loved skateboarding. I was 20 years old, and I had just saved up my money, and I had bought a brand new skateboard. I got brand new wheels, brand new trucks, a brand new deck. I was ready to go to the skateboard parks and do some serious skateboarding. So I got to the park the next day after I'd bought my skateboard, and I started skateboarding. And I was doing all sorts of fancy tricks. I was doing kick flips. I was doing 360 flips, I was doing board slides, I was doing big grabs, and I was just having a really great time. And then I noticed this little boy. He was probably 6 or 7 years old, and he comes into the skateboard park, and he goes up to this one boy who was skateboarding and says something to him, and then he goes to another boy, and then he comes up to me, and he says, excuse me, sir, but have you seen my skateboard? I was like, no, I haven't seen your skateboard. And so he described it to me, and it sounded like the skateboard that he was describing was one of those skateboards you'd buy at maybe a Walmart or a Canadian Tire. It wasn't a pro model skateboard deck with top-of-the-line wheels and bearings, top-of-the-line trucks, and top of the line, you know, skateboard, grip tape, and everything. It wasn't like my brand new skateboard. And I said, no, I haven't seen your skateboard. So I continued on to skateboard, and then I noticed that his father got out of his car, and they were looking around the skateboard park for his skateboard. And I stopped, because I just did some, like, awesome moves. And I had to catch my breath, and I'm sort of leaning up like this. And then this voice in my head says to me, Eric, give your skateboard to the kid. What am I thinking? It's hot out. So I continue to skateboard. I ride, I'm doing big tricks, big ollies, ollieing upstairs, ollieing downstairs. I was wearing a helmet, parents, I was wearing a helmet. Okay. And I stopped. And I look at the boy, and the voice in my head says, this I'm louder, Eric, give your skateboard to the kid. No, I'm not going to give my skateboard. This is my skateboard. I just bought this skateboard. I spent tons of money on it. I got, like, awesome trucks, the trucks I've always wanted. I think they were Hurricane trucks. They don't make those anymore. And bone ripper wheels and bearings and an Element skateboard deck. I was like, this is mine. No. And so I continued to skateboard. I'm going upstairs. I'm going off the pyramid, getting some big air. The kids in the park are like, yeah, Eric, you're awesome. I'm like, oh, thanks. And so I stop, and I see the boy. He's crying. Daddy, I want my skateboard. And the voice in my head, this time louder, says, Eric, give your skateboard to the kid. I'm like, no. So I continue to skateboard. I continue to skateboard. I'm doing cool moves. And then again, I look at the boy. The boy is crying. And the voice in my head says again, but this time even louder, Eric, give your skateboard to the kid. At this point, I was starting to get a little shaky. I'm like, what is going on? Why am I talking to myself really loud in my head? Something is not right here. But every time I looked at that boy, I just felt something inside of me saying that I had to give up something that I loved to this little boy. So I continue to skateboard, and I stop. And I'm up on like the highest spot in the skateboard park, and I see the boy and his dad about to get in his car. And they're about to drive away. And that voice in my head says to me, Eric, this is your last chance. Give your skateboard to the boy. I'm going to pause there. I'm going to leave you hanging. I'm not going to tell you what I do. But I want to look at a story I think that Pastor Steve touched on last week, and that is the story of the rich young ruler. So Jesus was on his way out of town, and this man runs up to Jesus. He runs up to him, and he kneels on the ground, and he asks Jesus this burning question that was on his heart. He says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to go to heaven? Well, Jesus replies back, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You know what they say. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false witness. Do not cheat. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, I've done these things since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. You lack one thing. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. Well, the young man, his mouth dropped. Huh? And he was sad, and he walked away because he had lots of wealth. He was really rich. Jesus then looked around. He said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich people to enter God's kingdom. The disciples were amazed at his words. How hard it is for the rich to enter God's eternal kingdom? But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter God's kingdom. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter God's kingdom. The disciples were even more amazed, and they started talking amongst themselves, and they said, who can be saved? And Jesus said, with man, that is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Who was this rich young ruler? Well, this story is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they all sort of give little different information about who he was. Luke tells us that he was a ruler. Well, a ruler probably during that time was someone that was in charge of maybe of a community. He was a leader in the community. And being that he refers to Jesus as a teacher, as a rabbi, probably indicates that this young man, he himself was a Jew. He was not some Roman. He was a Jew. So it's probably pretty likely that he was someone that was a leader in a synagogue. And he has this burning question on his heart. And I think it's interesting that he waits for Jesus to leave the town because when he was in the town, Jesus was questioned by the Pharisees and the religious rulers. And they were trying to trick him. But Jesus would always give, you know, the answer right back at them. So he wasn't willing to go up in the inside the town where people would see him approaching Jesus to ask this burning question. And I think all of us, at some point in our life, we want to know, how do we get to heaven? I think people that struggle with believing in faith, that is a question that they ask when they're considering if God exists. Is heaven for real? And how do I go to heaven? How do you get there? And this is what he had on his heart. He wanted to know, what is it that I have to do to get to heaven? And Jesus says, well, have you considered the commandments? And the ones that Jesus lists, they all have to do with people. And he says, yes, I have followed thee since I was a little boy. Well, it's pretty hard to follow all the commandments that the Jews had. You know, there was the Ten Commandments, but then they had like hundreds of other laws to sort of help them so they would not fall into sin. And he's saying that, yes, I have followed all these commands since I was a boy. He's probably thinking, hey, this is good. I'm probably good. If this is the answer for me to go to heaven, then I'm on my way. But no. Yes, it's important for us to be good and to love one another. But Jesus sees something that's something inside that he needs to let go. And that was his wealth, his riches. And I love Jesus' response to him because he looked at him and loved him. I don't think that Jesus was trying to catch him in making him feel bad and just showing how like they're very religious, how the leaders of the synagogues or the Pharisees or Sadducees. Jesus tried to usually show that you guys are so focused on religion and following these laws, but you're missing the point. You're missing me. And here, he looks at him because he can see that this man has come out of his community and he wants to know this question, how to enter God's kingdom. And so Jesus, he looks at him and loves him. You lack one thing. He needs to give up all of his possessions, his riches, and give it to the poor. That bondage that's holding him back from following God, from following Christ. But the rich man can't. He's too distracted. He's too distracted. He can't let go of it. And he walks away sad. Because he's too rich. Oh. There I was at the skateboard park with a choice. Do I hold on to my skateboard, my brand new skateboard, or do I give it to the boy? And I'm left with that final question. This is your last chance, Eric. Give the skateboard to the boy. What do I do? Well, even before my mind could make up what I'm going to do. My legs are moving. And I'm going out of the skateboard park, and I'm heading out into the parking lot, and I'm waving down the car. Stop! 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 They stop the car, and the windows are rolled down, and I pass the skateboard through. Take it. Take it. It's yours. Not really. I have to give it back to someone later. But I give it to the boy. And the dad looks at me. Are you crazy? I might be, because I'm hearing voices in my head. And no, I just saw you in the skateboard park. I saw how sad your son was. And I just felt in my heart that I had to give my brand new skateboard to your son. 20 times more than your skateboard, probably. But yeah. So he's like, thank you. And the little boy is just so excited, spinning the wheels. Whoa! And they drive off. And I turn around, and I see everyone at the skateboard park, all the kids, even the parents, they're all watching this. And as I'm walking to my car, because I have no skateboard now, so I'm just going to go home, I'm walking to my car, and this little boy says to me, hey, Eric, next time you get a new skateboard, can you give it to me? Well, I get in the car, I drive home, and I'm thinking to myself, what have I done? Why? If this was me, God, I need some help. But if this is you, God, then why? I couldn't understand why I had to give it up at that point. Why I had to give that little boy. I got thinking in the back of my mind, well, actually, I do need money for college. Maybe someone's going to bless me with, like, my whole college tuition. A week went by. I'm at home, and I'm sitting, and I was making a mix CD. I still remember that. It was like Delirious and DC Talk, I wanted an album, so I called up my youth pastor and said, hey, Randy, could I come down and borrow that new Delirious album from you? He's like, sure. So I get on my bike, and I'm riding my bike, but I decide to go past the skateboard park. And I see three boys at the skateboard park skateboarding. And I stop and I'm like, hey, guys, how's it going? And they're like, Eric, is it true that you gave your brand-new skateboard to a little boy? I'm like, yep. Yeah, I gave my brand new skateboard to a little boy. And they're like, why? So I told them. I told them how I was hearing voices in my head, but I believed that that was God in my heart talking to me, telling me to give up something that I loved so that I would follow him. And the kids just started asking more questions. And I started from talking about creation to all of God's wonders with Moses. And then I made my way right up to Jesus' life and ministry and his death and resurrection. I was there for over an hour just giving them the gospel. And these three boys said to me, how do we become followers of Jesus? Light bulb went on. Oh my goodness, God. I see what you're doing here. And so these three boys prayed with me and asked Jesus into their life. I was amazed. I couldn't believe that God would use a skateboard. You can hold on. To save three young boys. If someone told me that, I would say, that's impossible. There's no way a skateboard could help someone go to heaven. Come on. But that's just it. A needle. Jesus uses a needle and says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You know how big a hole is in the needle? It's like that big. Go like that with your finger. It's so small. It's tiny. It's teeny. I could barely put thread through the needle. You know, it's like, oh, sweetie, can you do it? And Jesus is saying that it's easier for a camel to go through. A camel is this huge animal, and he's saying it's easier to go through an eye of a needle. That's impossible. then how is it that we're supposed to go to heaven? What is it that we have to do? There's nothing that you can do that's going to get you into heaven. It's only God. It's only through Christ that we can enter heaven. He did something that was impossible. He used a cross. A piece of wood. To save mankind. The point is that Jesus makes is that salvation is not achieved through our own efforts. It's from God alone, by His grace. With man, that is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. What Jesus wants us to know is living our lives for Christ is so much better than living for money and possessions and skateboards. Jesus wants us to serve Him alone. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. When we give God our attention and truly follow Him, He makes all things possible that we believe or think are impossible. When I moved to Latvia and I got married to my wife, I was thinking, Lord, I can't speak Latvian. I can't speak Russian. How am I going to provide for my wife? And what if we start a family? And we did. How am I going to provide for them? I don't know what I could do there. And I was so worried that I didn't know what I was going to do. But God opened doors. And God made it possible for us to live there. And even better, He made it possible that I could be a youth missionary in Latvia to use my gifts for others and to bless the church there. So I think it comes to a point where even a young child, they can hold on to something so dearly, but they too can follow Christ to a grown adult. We too hold on to things. And I believe that those things can become distractions. And that can keep us from truly following Christ. But we need to learn to surrender those things, to lay those things down, to give them away, to give it up. For who? For Christ. And follow Him. So where are you at? Are you following Christ? Amen. Keep following Christ. Encourage others to follow Christ. Be a blessing to others. Be bold in your faith. Are you someone that is struggling to follow Christ? Are there things that are distracting you, holding you back, that's keeping you from really just going, I really want to be more involved in the church community, but I just can't right now. I got all these things happening and I need to organize, prioritize. But I really do want to do this, but I just don't know, God. I don't know what to do. You got to lay it down. Or are you a person that is not following Christ? You are doubting whether maybe all of this is real. You're not too sure. You're still looking. You're searching. You want to know the truth. The truth is that Jesus is the truth. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And there's nothing that we can do that's going to earn our way into God's kingdom. It's only through Christ that we can be saved. And Jesus has given that invitation to all of us to come and follow me. I hope and pray that you will follow Christ. Thank you. I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your work on the cross, that there's nothing that we're going to do that we can do to get into your eternal kingdom, but it's only by your grace and your love that we can be saved. And I don't think there's nothing in the world that is like that. There's no other religion that has that. It's all about what you do and how you earn your way, but not with you, Christ. You have done all that work for us. I just pray that as we go out into our community, into our work, our schools this week, that we would be bold in our faith and we will not be easily distracted by all the things that, from money to possessions to things, but that we would focus on you and we would follow you, Christ. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.